This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Horses in the Morning for August the 7th, episode 2242. We are still on holiday break, so we're going back in the archives for today's show. Today we go back to July 5th, 2017, and we hear from Dorothy Morris talking about raising her horse-crazy daughter and writing historical novels. Dr. Shaba from Haggard Equine Medical Institute explains equine COPD, or heaves. And Horsemanship Radio show host Debbie Lauk stops by to share her experiences at the Spanish Riding School during Monty Roberts' demonstrations there. I think you're going to enjoy it. We hope you hang around. Have fun. We'll be back Monday of next week for more live episodes. Until then, keep enjoying the ones we're putting out for you on the podcast feeds. Well, good morning. Does everybody hear ringing in their ears still this morning? I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 5th, episode 1732, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We hope you all survived last night and your pets did too. I cannot tell you how many posts I saw on Facebook from people whose dogs were having meltdowns last night. And, you know, Glory is the worst. By the way, it was her birthday yesterday. Glory is the worst. And she just...
Happy birthday. We're going to shoot off fireworks and scared the absolute crap out of you.
That's why she's named Glory, because she was 4th of July. She is just terrible at fireworks. She was a stray in the woods of Kentucky. We think she came from a hunting camp, which is why she doesn't like gunshots or loud noises of any kind. And we determined yesterday she's going blind. She has this disease where she's going blind. So we're going to have a blind sight hound. Why couldn't she have gone deaf and kept her eyesight? Because we would have solved that whole scared to death thing. But I have a solution for people. We've always used the Thunder Shirt on her, and it works good. Thunder Shirts do work. But we found something that works better.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, BioStar does the show, the Healthy Critter show. Tigger at BioStar, she's like a super genius when it comes to all natural stuff. And they have this product at BioStar that she talked us into trying, and we're so glad we did. We ordered more because we realized we were running out right before the 4th of July. Jennifer had to order it on Friday and have it overnighted because how much we like this stuff. It's called Theracom K9. It's BioStar Theracom K9, and it's all natural. It has like pumpkin meal and coconut oil and flaxseed and capsaicin powder. It's all organic stuff, right? But this stuff works. We give her one pill for a dog her size. You give her one of these chewies. They're like a chewy. And you give her one, and it just mellows her out to the point where she just falls asleep and she doesn't care. And that's during the fireworks or shooting or whatever happens. It just works.
Really? It's like a natural sedative?
It's like a natural calming thing. And you give her two and she's like, ow, you know? If it's like a bad thunderstorm, we'll give her two and she goes in her crate and sleeps and you don't see her for 4 hours. But this stuff really does work. I got to tell you, this is not a paid commercial, people. This stuff works.
Do they have a human form? That sounds awesome.
You know, if you could get Lucas to eat it, maybe.
I was thinking for me, I'd like to finally sleep. But he'd be the reason I don't sleep. So let's give it to him.
That's right. Give it to the kid. It's all natural. I don't know, you know. But anyway, it is, it's made in the USA. It's just good. And it's not that expensive, is it, Jennifer? Like $15 or something for a tub?
I think I consider it a reasonable price for what we're getting because it just Now, if we're not careful and we don't give it to her till after the thunder starts or the gunfire starts, whatever it is going to be scaring her starts, it doesn't work quite as well. But if we see on the radar that there's going to be a thunderstorm coming in a half an hour, just chuck one of those little guys out there. And like Glenn said,
Glenn, it's not expensive. It's not expensive. It's the overnighting it that kills you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's the thinking ahead
poor
part.
Poor planning on my part. Yeah.
And it even says on the bottle, can be given multiple times per day during high stress. So it's not like you can only give it once a day because it's all natural. You know.
So maybe my ball-obsessed dog, Danny, could just live on it.
Oh, yes. You might put Danny out for a change. I don't think that dog's ever had 2 minutes of peace
in
his life.
That dog's never slept.
Anyway, that was my helpful tip for the day. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
No. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I thought that was your daily Winnie.
No.
Sorry.
That's my helpful tip.
Just an FYI, both of you guys are breaking up for me, but that just might be me. And coming up on today's horselovers.com Wednesday edition that really feels like a Monday edition, right out of the gate, we're going to have a visit with horse gal and author Dorothy K. Morris. And the Horse Health Report features Haggard's Dr. Jeremy Shaba, and he's got the lowdown on COPD in horses. And at the finish, Horsemanship Radio host Debbie Laux has highlights from Monty Roberts' trip to the Spanish Riding School. So stay tuned for the fight, folks.
If any of our live listeners right now, and I know there's quite a few of you, if any of you are on near Facebook and could drop me a note and tell me if we sound okay, that would be good. Well, it is Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to one of our auditors who did a fun post. Lilla Hewitt, or Thomason Hewitt, posted on Facebook. She had a picture of her on this great big tractor. It was a selfie on a great big tractor. And she said, made a second track, a fire break this morning. She lives in California. It looks very dry. Fire break this morning on her farm while listening to Hit 'em and the Weg Show. And what I thought was so cute about it is she had her earbuds running up under her noise-canceling headphones.
That's awesome. I thought
that was a great picture. So, she had it right up under her noise-canceling headphones. And it was a cute picture of her on her great big tractor. So, Lilla, I loved your picture. Thank you so much for posting it. I'm always curious of what people are doing when they're listening, aren't you?
I'm amazed at all the places we've been that we've never been.
We've done a lot of things. And I'm hearing from Hillary that it sounds fine to me. You're all clear. So apparently we are the only ones having issues today. And it is your turn.
So my daily Winnie, when you become a parent, there's things you do that you take for granted that when you introduce your child to them, it becomes a monumental event. So Lucas went to his first fireworks display last night, and I had to video just about 15, 20 seconds of it because it was about a 25-minute fireworks display. And we went to like the local country club golf course, and everybody brought blankets and laid out. And so we're very close to like kind of underneath the fireworks, and they would let off a big one at a time. And it went on for like 25 minutes. And I want to show you what happened the entire 25-minute firework display. Play the audio.
Wow! Mom, it's gonna not go up anymore.
Okay, oh.
Lucas is a big one.
Whoa! That one almost touched us.
That was so big.
We forget that there's people that have never seen a fireworks display before, you know? That's funny.
Every time it would launch, he'd go, whoa!
The finale must have been a killer.
Oh, my God. He, like, lost his mind. It was the cutest thing ever. So just keep in mind that sometimes when you go places and children are really annoying, it's because the parents are doing what I was doing, because I'm sure he annoyed everybody around us. Because he literally screamed every firework. But you got to remember that, oh my gosh, like that was his first time ever seeing something like that. It was pretty cool.
We love going to Disney World with people, adults or kids, who have never been there before. But, you know, we've been there 1,000 times. So it's fun for us to go with and see it through their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is fun. That is cool. And that'll happen to you the first time you take Lucas to Disney World.
I know. He, you know what? It's really disappointing because when we were kids, we knew what Disney World was because there was Mickey Mouse was on TV and there was just all these, you know, Disney cartoons. But now, have you ever seen Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
No.
It's horrible.
Oh, really?
It's so bad. It's so painful. If you get, they sing about a hot dog. I don't know. It makes no sense at all. It's complete nonsense. And he hates that show. So I'm like, you want to go to Disney World? He's like, I don't like that show. That's funny. They got to step up their game.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. So you are getting ready to head out to your show this weekend. How is Zeus doing in his training and his water exercises?
Well, yesterday we went out and did a kind of a group jump in the arena, and he's just pissy. He's just pissy. And I've used different saddles on him now.
You think he's just ring sour? He just hates a ring.
He doesn't matter where he is. He just does. And I think my vet was right. I think it's just he just doesn't want to work in the heat at all. Well, he has zero interest in being ridden right now. So he's going to get some after this weekend.
I don't want to work in the heat.
Yeah, I know. Me neither, dude. I don't want to ride you either. So we're just both trying to accomplish a goal here, whether you like it or not. So this weekend is the horse trial, and then he'll get some time off. And I think for just the next month, all I'm going to do is swim him 3 or 4 days a week. So at the Aqua Tread that's down the road. So that's going to be his next month, and hopefully get him in some good shape and kind of improve his attitude, because his attitude, I mean, asking him to move forward for the jumps is the same pinning of the ears as asking him to move forward in dressage. So with the help of Desiree Johnson, who is the Smooth Stride owner, and we're going to actually talk to her mom in just a minute. She's sent me some really good exercises and tips. I'll video myself and send it to her. But did you know she's I think she was the youngest woman to ever compete in Rolex. And it was like the 80s when it was death defying. Not that it's not death defying now, but she's a total
badass.
Just
crazy back then.
Yeah, just crazy. So she's given me a lot of helpful tips and kind of taught me to really don't worry so much about his frame, because I'm like, I have to get him in a frame. And Jennifer knows the lower level dressage, if you want to do well, just package him into that frame. And then, you know, the rest comes later. Well, I'm not doing that now. And it's been a couple weeks, and allowing him to kind of go forward into the contact as opposed to holding him in the contact. And there has been zero improvement to his attitude. So
this could be an interesting dressage test with lots of fun comments.
Yes. She has helped me because a lot of times when I ask him to canter, he will kick out, and she's given me some good exercises. Instead of, you know, you're posting trot, you sit and canter. This is a posting trot, sit for about 4 or 5 steps and then canter. And he literally completely quit kicking out into the canter, because she's like, you have to let him know it's coming. You just can't. He's kind of an horse. You just can't surprise him with it. He is mad. So that's really, really been helpful, and allowing him to kind of, it's just been more fun to ride, honestly, to have these things to think about and just be even softer. I feel I'm a really soft rider until somebody is like, you need to be softer. So it's been kind of fun. So we're going to talk to her mama in a minute, because I didn't know this is like a long lineage of family badasses. Okay. Like, what the heck?
Well, let's bring her on now, actually. We have...
Oh, she's on? Oh, great. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, we have Dorothy Morris. Good transition. We have Dorothy Morris on with us now. She has... she's an accomplished author. She does the Mockingbird Hill series, and also has an interesting past and lineage, and trains thoroughbreds, and obviously bred a top-level eventer in her day. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Was it terrifying to watch Desiree do the cross country at Rolex back when things were totally nuts?
I was so busy running from one jump to another trying to see that I really didn't realize my heart was in my throat, but it was.
I bet it was, because things were crazy. They were doing roads and tracks back then. They were all going about a 90 miles an hour, totally out of control. It was just a wild time. It really was.
It was.
Yeah.
My heart was in my throat every time she went cross country from start to finish all the way up.
Now, she had some pretty impressive coaches. Did the coaches help you at all? Because, I mean, she rode with Jimmy Wofford. Does Jimmy Wofford offer any advice to the mothers?
Well, if Jimmy offered advice to the mothers, it was to be sit there on the sidelines and be quiet while I teach your daughter.
But
This is how it happened with us. I didn't know Jimmy Wofford when I started teaching Desiree, and I was training the horse. It happened to be my field hunter. She wanted to do combined training that she got on the Antony Club. So I said, well, I will take the horse to Potomac Riding Center for dressage lessons, and I'll teach you to ride the horse. So that's how we did. I took the horse to that place in Maryland. We had many dressage lessons, and then I came home for the horse and put Desiree atop and said, this is how you do it. So we worked all the way up through training level and preliminary level. Back then there was no novice. You started off right at training level.
Right.
And she was turning 14 and was selected to be in one of the junior internationals for Area 2. And I coached her through that competition. And Alex McKay Smith, the owner of Chronicle of the Horse, we were in the same hunt club, so he knew her riding and had seen her many times. So he told me to take her to Jim Wofford for training. So that's what it worked out that way, and that's how Jim took over. And the funny part of it was that Desiree was, at that 14 years old, being quite accomplished and winning, was a little bit... shall we say, on her high horse. And so I told Jim, I said, you know, she won't listen to me anymore. She thinks she knows more than I do. He said, good. So about the third lesson, she had the circle ride. He puts them in a circle and they walk around him for about 20 minutes while he plays marine drill instructor with them, tears them down, and then he proceeds to build them up. Which was the only thing he asked my permission, and the only thing I said was, "Can I watch?" So this is how it went with Desiree, and she became she absolutely adores the man. She's devoted to him more than anybody I know, and they have a bond still that he calls her on her birthday and sends her emails, and they communicate constantly back and forth. So he's one of the men she totally worships. And he at first thought the horse, Foxy, was too small, and being a home trained horse and not professional, he said, we'll have to get her another horse. And I said, Foxy will do it. He'll do all the way. And by God, he did it. And wow. Jim eventually called him my little man, my little man. That was his word for Foxy.
Wow. I mean, I see, it's funny because Desiree and I have agreed on that, because I call him the eventing Jesus, because I think his books on eventing are Bibles. They're all just Bibles. And when he is training your daughter, when you're handing off your child to Jimmy Wofford, and you're not that familiar with him, and you don't probably, aside from reading about his accomplishments, you don't really know who you're handing off. Does it, when you say, take my child, is it a sense of relief when you give her to somebody else? Like, because it's what I understand, the hardest thing to teach your own children.
We had a beautiful relationship, Desiree and I, until she was until she got to the point where she really thought she knew more than I did.
Oh.
And perhaps she did about eventing and competition, because I'm a behind the scenes person. I like to do the training, the teaching, and getting them ready to compete and coaching them. I don't like to compete myself. But what happened is I trusted Alexander McKay Smith. He knew Desiree and he knew Jim Wofford. And if I figured if he said Jim was the right person, then I would trust him.
Right.
At some point you have to trust. And when I watched him teach, I realized that he was deeply into the classical system. Jim was. Mm-hmm. And that's the system I like. I like the old fashioned classical system. And I saw that he agreed with me on that. And so I was completely hands off from that point. Went and I trusted him totally. Yeah. And I trusted him with my horse, which was even more important
than your daughter.
I have.
That's right.
And my well, that came out wrong. But that it was the same, you know, my horse and my daughter. There was one coach that came to do a pony club clinic, and he was having my horse and my daughter jump over and over and over and over and over and over a big jump when she was only 12 years old and the horse was only, I think, 5 or 6, and it was too much. So I pulled her out of the class. I said, that's enough. And I kind of got a reputation of being a busybody mother, but I said, that's enough. My horse and daughter are going home.
I
trusted Jim. I trusted Jim totally.
I always say that to people when their children are in a situation, and yeah, you might not know exactly what's going on, even if you're a non-horse person, but you're enough, you're there, and it's enough to be able to look at the situation, go, something is not right. Step in. You would have no problem pulling your child out of a car of a bad driver. Why would you put her on a horse?
I did.
Good for you.
No, I said I trusted my horse. I trusted her coach, and I trusted his knowledge because I had the same knowledge. I didn't have the competition experience, but I dug into the books heavily because I'm a book learner. I do things by the book, and when you read Podolsky and when you read Sunig and you read D'Androdi and you learn all the correct ways of doing something, you can easily spot somebody who's makeshift. They're not really following any sort of plan. And I could see that Jim knew exactly what he was doing. And then when she got to the intermediate level and was going up to training camp, she had Legoff, who was just as good as Jim. And so she had the best of all possible training. And I kept telling her all the way through, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. I'm not pushing you. This is your choice. And she was thriving on it. She loved it. And there was no holding her back.
Hey, Dorothy, I got to ask you a question.
So we had
change gears a little bit here, but we've had so many authors on that are also horse people, Tammy Hoag and Lisa Wysocki, and the list just goes on and on and on. Is there a correlation between being an author and the horses? Is the horses just a good outlet away from it? Do you see any correlation there?
No, not for me. The reason I did horses and the reason I did book was because of my bucket list. When I was quite young, I made a very long bucket list of things I wanted to accomplish in my life. And becoming an expert with horses, learning everything I could about them, about training, about their psychology, about their physiology, how to do this and how to do that. And then doing it was one of my main goals. So I followed through with that. Last on my bucket list to write a book. And I intended to write a book. And as I got old in my advanced age and was not writing so much, I decided, okay, now is the time to write a book. But I didn't know what to write about. And then due to a conversation on a chat room back in the old days when we had chat rooms on AOL, I got the idea of writing a book. And so I did it. I had no idea of getting it published. It was just something I wanted to do. So I did send it to a small publishing house to do a critique to see if it was any good or not. And the man said, I want to publish it just like it is. So he published it. And then I wrote the second. The first one I dedicated to my old high school literature teacher, who I worshipped, like Desiree worships Jim. I worship Miss Dorothy White. And so I dedicated it to her, and she signed the book for me. And I said, you know, I was so happy she signed it. And she said, I'm afraid to read it. What if I don't like it? You know, but anyway, she read it, liked it, and said, and she said, I want you to write some more. You've got to write another book. So I continued with this book and wrote a second one. And it was well received, so I thought I will write a trilogy. So I wrote the third book, and I closed down the trilogy. And I let one of my very, very, very good friends read the manuscript before I presented it. And he was furious. He said, you cannot shut this down. You must open it up for another book and another one and another one. You can't stop writing. So I did. I rewrote the last third and opened it up for a fourth book. And by that time, people were saying, when's the next one coming? I want the next one. This one went by too fast. I want the next one. So now I'm up to 11.
Wow. Bit of an overachiever, Dorothy.
It just keeps. I've been told that.
So to me, the biggest thrill of reading a book is when you feel like you're in the middle of the story, like you're with Scarlett O'Hara and you're fighting off the Yankees at Tara, or in one of my favorite books, you're in a boat with a tiger in The Life of Pi, or you're terrifyingly in the middle of Cormac McCarthy's The Road. And as an author, I'm sure that you have to immerse yourself in what you're writing, and you have to be there to be able to see all the things that are going around you. But what you're writing about is not a fully explored time of life or a common time in history to study. Tell us about the time frame of your stories and how you do that.
I started with, I grew up in the South, in the South Carolina. It's my heritage. And it was a time and place where the Civil War was still being fought in the minds of people. And it still is, by the way, to this day. But I wanted to understand, the first book I wrote happened to be about the time of 1849 through right after the Civil War, about 1865. So I wrote the next one, and it covered the years after that. So the first four books go from 1869 to 1868. And by that time, I had really gotten deep into the painful part of the Civil War and the slavery issue and Jim Crow and all that. And I thought, I want to go back and find out how it all got started. So I went back to 1726. And once you do some research in the history books of South Carolina, you research 10 years, you've got a book. So much happened. It was such an active, volatile place. Mm-hmm. The way it got started, the way it proceeded, with everything. And so that's how I did. I go every 10 years and I've got another book. So I'm trying to fill in the places, turn all of the history into action. Mm-hmm. And my characters come when they're needed. They tell me who they are, and they help me write the story. And because I've studied one of my other accomplishments, I've studied Jungian psychology intensively, so I know how to create characters with the proper psychological actions to match their psyche. And I make history come alive. And all of my readers call me, they tell me, how they couldn't put it down. They couldn't wait to find out what was going to happen to the characters. They love the characters. They hate the characters. The characters are alive. And so that's why I keep writing. And it just keeps coming in. It's like I'm watching a movie. And as I'm watching the movie, I write. And sometimes taking a walk, a whole thing just come down. I don't make an outline. I don't think about what I'm going to say. I just sit down and type.
Wow. Okay. All due respect for you. Now we're talking, of course, to Dorothy Morris, very accomplished author. Mm-hmm. Glenn, when you ask if there was a correlation between writing and riding, mm-hmm. I feel like we have just answered that, because I feel like all horse people are a little crazy. And I think that to be able to do what she does, you got to be a little crazy. So I think the crazy just goes together. And that's why authors write books and ride horses. It's a whole world of crazy out there.
I will say that the part of the horses that are in my book, all the time period that I write about, the only transportation we had was horses. So every time a horse is mentioned or brought up or anything about them, I use correct terminology. I use terminology that a horse person will understand and appreciate. There are many people who may not, but I write for people who will understand.
All right.
And if they don't, they can look it up.
No fake whinnies.
That's how I incorporate the horse thing in my book, because I use it, you know, try to do it proper way.
I love it. Well, I could talk to you for another hour and a half, and maybe we can meet up, because you live in Tucson, Arizona, and I know that Desiree is actually coming to my horse trial this weekend. Hello, nervous, to come and check it out.
And then she's going to come and visit me.
Yes.
How
exciting. So that's great. Yes. I'm so happy to talk to you. I feel like we could have a bottle of wine and get really into it. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. Now we're going to have to make that a plan. So Dorothy Moore, where can people find your books besides everywhere?
They can find my books. I'll give you the website. They're all on Amazon, but they can go to dorothykmorrisbooks.com. That leads you right to my publisher, who also gives them. But they're on Amazon. And if you look at my Facebook page, Dorothy K. Morris, the cover shot has a cover. The cover shot is the cover photograph of all of my books all lined up. But if you want to, they can get in touch with me on my Facebook page easily.
Perfect. Perfect. Dorothy K. Morris, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Dorothy.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now we know where Desiree gets her niceness from. Right there.
Niceness and crazy.
And
it all
yes.
goes together. Horse chicks
right.
and crazy.
That's
just,
right.
But well, like lovable crazy.
What is that awesome. Time of the week when we talk a little bit of horse health?
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we've got Dr. Jeremy Shaba in to talk to us about COPD, which is, well, I'll let him describe it. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. Did I say it right, Shaba?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
I don't know. You know, you're in Kentucky. It could be Shaba. Who knows?
That's true.
Kentucky. So we're going to talk a little bit today about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as HEEVs, kind of the layman's term, or broken wind. So talk to us a little bit about COPD. What is it?
Cool. So COPD is actually a common misnomer. That's how it used to be called COPD, but now airway disease, or this particular type of airway disease in the horse, is classified as equine asthma syndrome. And there's kind of a spectrum on that. And the COPD, or HEEVs, that people commonly think of is at the severe end of that spectrum. So that's commonly referred to now as severe equine asthma. It's a chronic non-infectious condition of the lower airways, and it's typically characterized by bronchoconstriction. So your bronchioles are the lower parts of your airways, increased mucus secretion, and airway obstruction. So usually we see this in horses that are older than 7 years old. The clients often complain of regular coughing, exercise intolerance, increased respiratory effort at rest. They oftentimes have such a difficult time breathing that they develop a heave line. So their muscles in their abdomen become hypertrophied because they are working so hard at breathing. And it involves this disease involves a number of factors. There's a genetic predisposition. Oftentimes the horses have ineffective lung clearance, so they're not able to get out all the mucus and dust and pollen that they're inhaling. And then the oftentimes the inciting agent or the cause of this disease are inhalation of mold spores and pollens and dust that are found in hay, moldy hay and dusty bedding.
So you said moldy hay, but is there any hay has these spores?
The mold and dusty spores can be found in any hay, but it's most commonly found in like round bales are often very, very bad for horses with heaves, and they often get really bad exacerbations of the disease from eating round bales. Usually alfalfa hays are a lot better than grass hays for horses with heaves, but okay. All hay in general has these spores.
This sounds like something that's really easy to deal with. It's only in hay and bedding. I mean, jeez, that sounds tough. Yes. How do you manage it then? Sorry.
Yeah, well, first I'd like to talk a little bit about diagnostics, because when you call your vet out, there's a couple of things that we can do to check and see if this disease is really what's going on. A proper physical exam is really important. Some blood work is important. And getting a really good listen to your horse's lungs and evaluating your horse. But there's also a procedure called a bronchoalveolar lavage, where you stick a tube all the way into your horse. Your vet sticks a tube all the way into the horse's lungs and squirts in some fluid and then sucks all that fluid back out. And then we look at it under a microscope. And on what kind of cells are in that fluid, we can make a better diagnosis of what's going on with your horse's lungs.
So what type of cells would you be looking for in a bronchial lavage? What's different?
With this disease, oftentimes we see an increase in neutrophils and eosinophils and mast cells. Eosinophils are cells that are often seen in response to allergy. So that's kind of a pretty common finding in these lavage samples as well.
So are there ways to do allergy testing once you realize this? Like, what part of his day is what's causing the COPD? Or is there a way to kind of break it down and really get to it? Or is it an elimination process?
Yeah. So the management of horses with this disease is the most important thing. There are drugs that we can use, but environmental management is the number one thing you can do. And oftentimes people can get their horses into complete remission just with environmental management. So we talked about the round bales earlier. So avoiding round bales, keeping horses outside on pasture is probably the best thing you can do with fresh grass. And you can supplement them with a complete pelleted feed if you need to. If you do, not everybody has access to fresh pasture. So if you do need to supplement with hay, soaking the hay is much greater than just wetting the hay, because that wetting the hay doesn't really reduce the dust and mold spores. So soaking or steaming the hay. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said earlier, alfalfa hay has been shown to be a little bit better than grass hay in terms of the number of spores that are present.
Wow.
If you do have to keep your horse inside, good stable practices are important. Making sure you have good ventilation in your barn, making sure that if you can move your horse outside while you're cleaning stalls,
sweeping the barn aisle,
the dust sweeping the barn aisle, all that stuff is going to increase the spores that are in the air that your horse are going to breathe in. So trying to limit the exposure to what's key.
So pretty much if you're breathing in crap, they're breathing in crap, and their nostrils are bigger and more open. So you just kind of be smart about everything, really. Is there a place in the country that this is more prevalent? You know, when I was a kid, it was always like, oh, if you have a horse with allergies, send it to Arizona. Well, I live in Arizona now, and my allergies are worse here than they ever were on the East Coast. So is there a place where it's not so bad, or is it more common in certain part of the country?
It's not as common from my understanding, the western side of the country. It is very common in the east and the Midwest, and there's a variation of this disease that's associated with horses being outside on pasture in the summertime, and it's found in the southeastern U.S. And even if they're not eating hay, they're just outside on pasture all the time, and just eating pasture, they can still get this disease. and it's seasonal, and it's seen with increased heat and humidity, and they're actually breathing in the mold spores and grass pollens, and that's what's causing this disease. But definitely Midwest and Eastern U.S. and Southeastern see this disease quite a bit.
So what is the medication that can be used to help if you're managing everything else and you're doing the best you can and you'd have to resort to a medication? What's the treatment?
So this disease can never be cured. It's just about managing it. Once a horse is diagnosed with this, they'll often always have this. But what can happen is, even if you're doing all the good management things, it can have acute flare-up. So if they get exposed to some of this dust on a certain day without you intending for it to happen, or if it's a really hot day, they can get flare-ups and have a really tough time breathing. So we can use anti-inflammatories like corticosteroids, and we can use bronchodilators to kind of quiet the inflammation in the lung and help them breathe better and secrete that and kind of expel that mucus out.
Wonderful. Well,
Usually we give those medications orally or via injection, but oftentimes we can use inhalers where we can aerosolize these medications and deliver them directly to the horse's lung, which makes it much more effective.
Fantastic. Well, this is great information. Where can people go to find out more, or if they think their horse might have this, is there a place they can go to for more information, or is this just a call the vet thing?
I would call the vet. There has been a recent study that showed that omega-3 fatty acids help with preventing the severity of this disease. But if you have a horse with a chronic airway problem, coughing, exercise intolerance, you can do your reading online. But the best way to find out if your horse has this is to call your vet and have the proper diagnostics done.
Dr. Chabot, thank you so much for joining us. He's with Haggard Equine. We're going to hear from Haggard in just a second, but it's haggardequine.com. And you guys can find Dr. Chabot there. And if you need to, I guess, ask him any questions, you can just send him an email. It's on the website, right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Chabot.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Show 'em what you're made of. Dreams have no price tag, never come cheap. Only you can chase yours. You've got to believe. Deep down inside, you know you got this. You're ready to shine. It's your moment to light up the world. Put that fire in your eyes like a powerful fire. Get back in the saddle. Tough times made you strong. Look at all you've done. You've waited so long. It's finally come. Deep down inside, you know
like a powerful phoenix. Deep down inside, you know you got this. You're ready to shine. It's your moment to light up the world with that fire in your eyes, like a powerful phoenix. It's your time to
song was called Rise by Elise Sanders, Saunders, and that was the one that was written about Jessica Phoenix. So we hadn't heard that in a while, so I thought I'd play that. I thought that sounded like fun. And we are also, Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by horselovers.com. I don't know if you were on there yesterday, Jamie, but Horse Lovers had a huge 4th of July sale.
What? And I didn't know about it.
Yes, and you should have went on because they had a ton of products at 90% off. I don't know how they make any money, to be honest. Because
I just got an email about free shipping. Like, if you're like a frequent customer like me, apparently they'll just
if you've ordered more than 1,000 times, you get.
Oh, the sales are still going on. They're still going on.
I know. I was on there, and the July 4th sale from Noble Outfitters is 75% off a bunch of different products. We're talking their shirts for $9 and $7, their gloves for $5. One of the disadvantages of living in Florida and to living in Phoenix is I really like jackets. I have a jacket fetish, and I could own about 1,000 of them, and their jackets are like $27, and they have really nice jackets at Noble Outfitters. But I live in Florida. So that
no, but I always think I'm going to travel, so I'm going to need a jacket someday.
Jennifer had to put a squash on me buying jackets. She said, okay, enough jackets. You have too many jackets now. So, yeah, I had to stop buying jackets. But you need to go on there today. Some of these sales are still going on, and they're just incredible. I mean, they had the Noble Outfitters sheets, their blankets rather, the 200 and 300 denier blankets for $50. Down from 200.
What?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, they're just doing a free shipping right now. Free shipping good on all U.S. orders over $99. And Canada, they'll ship you for free for $159. That's like a pair of boots.
Let's be honest. Or, you horsewomen, the ones I married included, the one I married included, not ones. although it seems like between you and Helena have more than one. But you guys never spend under $99 when you shop. I'm sorry. It never happens.
No, it's like a badge of honor. I have to get free shipping. I have to spend at least $60 more so I can get free shipping.
That's right.
Why waste money on shipping?
It's a challenge.
Yes. I can't be the only one who thinks about this.
No, I don't think you are. And they also have a contest going on right now with Noble Outfitters. You can win a whole bunch of different clothing. You just sign up. It's very simple and easy. You don't have to buy anything. So that's valued at $450. You can win $450 with a Noble Outfitters stuff. So head on over to horselovers.com. And don't forget, every week on the Stable Scoop Show, we do a product review. Horse Lovers sends out our auditors' products to review, and the auditors come on and do that review. So that's every week over on the Stable Scoop Show. Well, we have about
horselovers with a Z.com, by the way.
Yes, with a Z. Do you want to, it's Wednesday, so it's Crappy List Wednesday. How about we do a crappy list? I have the June study show. And this is something we've been doing for years and years and years for new listeners. I don't know how it started. I don't know. We find studies that waste all of our government money and just waste money in general when we could just tell you that that's what it was. You could pay us the $10 million. We don't need the study. We can just tell you the result you're going to get. So nobody's ever offered to do that, by the way. In all the years we've been doing this, nobody's ever offered us that money instead of doing the study.
Nobody's taking us up on that, no.
But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the beginning, and Jamie, you have to throw in what the end of it is, what the punchline of the study is, okay?
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Studies show caffeine can have...
Studies show caffeine can have... effects on your ovaries.
Was
that close?
You were close, actually. Studies show caffeine can have positive effects on health. Now, how many...
You didn't see... Oh, have positive effects on your health. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how many studies have we had over the last number of years we've been doing this that said caffeine is terrible and has horrible effects on your health?
I know. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Studies show women marginalized in... Studies show women marginalized in...
Male locker rooms.
That would be a good study if we could give you the answer to that right away. Close. You're also close. Studies show women marginalized in meetings and conversations.
Makes sense.
Yeah. They did a
and
study.
And the worst people to do that is other women.
I totally agree with you. Women can be more vicious to other women than men ever are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. New human studies show multiple health benefits from...
Multiple health benefits from chocolate and wine.
And there have been those studies over the years. And now you can add to chocolate and wine consuming mangoes. You can add mangoes to that list. Do you eat mangoes?
I love mangoes.
Do you?
Yeah. Although it's kind of hard to eat them.
Do you know what I really found I liked when we were on the cruise is the star fruit? You know what I'm talking about? The green fruit that looks like a star?
No, that was kiwi you were eating, Glenn.
No,
kiwi.
Wasn't it the star
fruit? Yes, it was. It was kiwi.
Was it? I thought it was star fruit that I
was. I watched.
Not a real rare kind of wild. I'm allergic to kiwi. Go ahead. What's next?
Studies show benefits of. I can't give you any more.
That's so broad. Yes. Studies show benefits of smoking.
You're going to love this one. You're going to love this study, by the way. Studies show benefits of veggies and a harm of fries. Now, they paid money for this study to show that French fries may not be the best for you, but vegetables are. I think they could have given us the money.
That's insane.
I know. I know. And also, I don't care how bad fries are. They're good. Studies show men still...
Studies show men still use Viagra.
Studies show men still die before women. Again. Again. We needed to spend money on that. Studies show gluten. This applies to me. Studies show gluten-free diets may do more.
To help you lose weight?
Harm than good. There's all these studies now that are coming out. This is not the only one that are saying that if you're gluten-free, it's doing you more harm than good because you need some of the stuff that... Now, obviously, you know, they're talking about the voluntary gluten-free people and not the celiac people who would die, you know, if they eat gluten.
Yeah.
They're talking about the volunteers. And, you know, I do it because I'm... You know, I never do anything that's good for me when it comes to food. I do it because I have to. So...
Hence the French fries?
That I'm going to keep eating French fries, yes. I could live on French fries. Massive studies find that friends, not family, are the key to...
Friends, not family.
This applies, by the way.
Are the key to a happy life?
Yes!
Did I get it?
Yes, you did.
Yay!
Friends, not family, are the key to happiness. Because don't you, if you took a look at the overall scope of your life, haven't you had more problems with family than you ever had with friends?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Now, could it be, though, because friends come and go and you're stuck with your family forever?
Well, you can pick your friends.
Right, exactly. And they come
you
and go, right?
You can't pick your family.
They fade in and out. So that could be why they're the key to happiness, is they come and go. And, it, you know, when you get sick of them, they're gone. Yeah. I think we could have taken that money and given them that result. Studies show Adele's music...
can be kind of annoying.
Did you hear that she's going off the road? She says she's not going to tour anymore. But then how many artists say that?
I watched her special that she did in New York, and she really, it seems really stressful. I was stressed watching her.
Yeah, really?
She came off the stage and started bawling. Who needs that?
Yeah, and apparently she just doesn't like being on the road. She likes singing, and she likes doing the studio stuff. But and she doesn't need to go on the road. She make a freaking fortune just from her what do they call it? The mailbox money? The mailbox money?
They do make the most from touring, but that's another story. Anyway, it's kind of annoying stuff.
Studies show that Adele's music takes you back to the womb.
Maybe that's why I'm annoyed. I had a twin brother. I was fighting for space.
He kept kicking you the whole time. He was beating on you the whole time.
Are you serious? That's what that's what they said?
Says. Yeah, that's what it says. I don't know what that exactly means. I don't read the studies. Studies show when lovers touch, their breathing and heartbeat.
Studies show when lovers touch, their breathing and heartbeat. I mean, obviously, it's going to be something really cheesy, like they mirror each other or something.
Close. That their heartbeat sinks and their pain goes away. Again, they paid money for this study that we could have told you the answer to. You're going to love this one. Studies show men can be so...
dickish. Sorry, is that a bad word?
That wasn't in there. Studies show men... It's close, though. Studies show men can be so hormonal.
Really?
Yeah. Jennifer would agree with that one 100%.
You know how many times would you ask me the study show and then you leave it blank that I try not to cuss?
One last one. And this one is like I can't even believe that this needed a study. Studies show Facebook and Twitter are being used to manipulate...
Studies show Facebook and Twitter are being used, and I can tell you this from experience, that I see people's Facebook, and I'm like, your life cannot be that perfect. They're manipulating people's views of them.
Well, and that is a good point, because nobody ever posts very few people post the bad stuff, right? We all post the good stuff, because most of us don't want to be depressing on social media. But this one is studies show Facebook and Twitter are being used to manipulate public opinion. Again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Look at me. I'm such an amazing mother. Yeah. I'm amazing. Meanwhile, I post a picture of my kid naked in a dirt pile wearing black socks.
Yeah, you don't fall into that category. Pictures of, neither one of us fall into that category. I got a picture of me with my finger almost cut off from a stupid watermelon accident.
Nothing, not like a stupid save the children from the burning building accident. No, you've got it from cutting a watermelon.
No. By the way, I bought one of those fancy watermelon cutters that I can't cut myself with. So I did buy one of the ones that was suggested by a listener.
I bet you'll find a way. I bet you'll find a way.
And I did want to say, too, it was funny. It reminds me, I did my, you know how we're doing the early years of our hosts interviews? I did one with Wendy and one with Aline, and everybody liked it, wanted us to keep going. Yours is coming, by the way.
No.
So I did mine. Helena interviewed me, and it's going to be on Stable Scoop this week. So that just kind of reminded me, this whole thing kind of reminded me of that, because, boy, oh, boy. It's tough to do those interviews. And I'll do yours, so it'll be so easy then.
I don't understand. What are you going to ask me?
Well, we just talked about the early life, what you did growing up and family and just...
Cares about me and my early life?
I'll tell you what, those were popular interviews. They really were. Now, Wendy's was a little exotic because, like, her grandmother was a princess in training.
Like, hers is cool. Like, I get hers. Mine, not so much.
Yeah, I didn't think mine was very cool either, but Helena made it interesting. She asked me all the right questions, I guess. She made it interesting. Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's go next. We're going to hear about something that was totally amazing, and I got to get her on here. She is waiting for us anxiously. Because I think she is just bubbling over with excitement. Do you want to introduce her?
Yes, I do. I love her dearly. Her name is Debbie Laux, and she is the daughter of Monty Roberts. And of course, I find
host
it
of the
amazing.
Horsemanship Radio Show.
She's the host of the Horsemanship Radio Show. But I do find it amazing that, Monty travels all over the world, and I just don't see her jumping on the plane with him all of the time. Yet, however, he goes to Vienna, Austria, and he goes to the Spanish riding school, and somehow she has a ticket. Debbie, I don't blame you for a second. Oh, my gosh, what an amazing thing you did.
It was so fun. Hi, you guys. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's it's early there.
My voice did sound kind of craggy there, didn't it?
Yeah. I get it, girl.
Probably still jet lagged too. She just got home like a day ago.
No. It's easier coming back. No. I've been up since for hours, you guys, honestly. We're just still floating. We're still, you know, on Facebook and doing all kinds of reconnaissance, and it's just been really fun. The response has been amazing. I was worried that a lot of people might push back and say, what the heck are you doing?
All right. Spanish, well, right? For those that aren't caught up, tell us exactly what happened.
It doesn't go back very far, really. You could start back 28 years or so, but, he has done his demonstrations in Buckingham Palace. And so he has been to some really fine courts, but in April, when he was on tour in England and Germany a bit, he was kind of spontaneously invited by the Spanish Writing School to come during the time when the Lipizzaners are up in Piber, kind of taking their vacation. I think everybody in Europe goes on vacation like around July, but it was a little crowded. But they didn't have the regular school going on there or the regular demonstrations of the school. And so they said, hey, want to come? And he said, really? With a join up and round pin and everything? Yeah, how about it? And so on Sunday night, on July 2nd, he was invited to do his regular demonstration. We had five horses. Generally, it's like three or four, but we had five because there were so many good ones that it started at five and it went till about, well,
do
till the last
know
person.
He's
left.
82, by the way. Just check.
He doesn't act it. No. I don't think unless you get really close and say, how old are you? Then he'll tell you. He certainly will. He doesn't act like it. I mean, there was one horse out there. I'll just give a little preview because people are going to have to watch for the video. We've got some video of it coming. A documentarian was there, which I'm really Eric.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He came over. We met him a few years ago. He's doing it. He did a documentary on the wild Mustangs. So he was over in the United States and he came over. We met him. So the first thing when we heard that he was invited, by the way, the operative word was he was invited by the Spanish Writing School. We didn't like rent the hall for the night or anything, but no, he's the only non Spanish Writing School trainer to ever have been honored to do that. Actually.
Your dad, of course, not the documentarian. So we've got the guy doing the documentary.
I'm all over the place. I'm so excited. Documentarian filmed everything. And there was a big, I don't know what he was, but he had draft in him for sure. He could pull like beer wagons, and he was four and just out of control. And in that little 50-foot diameter round pin, he looked monstrous. And he came in saying, well, once you get on him, he's great, but you can't get on him. So, really? So what are you going to do? Yeah. And so it was a standstill to mount kind of thing. And the guy could just pull dad around. He brought in another instructor, Sabi from Hungary was there, Sabi Polonix. And the two of them could not hold this horse. It was amazing. Dually halter and all, kindly and everything. But he just went in circles. And then finally, dad said, it's okay, Sabi, I got this. And, you know, kind of gathered him up and then had Joanna Lowe's, who was his rider for that, bouncing up and down and finally, you know, he accepted a rider to mount. And that's where you could not tell he was 82. That was the punchline.
Really?
Oh my gosh. You know, I had a sore arm just watching him trying to school this big old horse. And so there weren't the Lipizzaners, you know, the classic Lipizzaners, they would probably never even do that. But they were from owners in the area that came and showed their horses to Martina Hübling, who is our certified instructor, one of our certified instructors in Austria. And so when the five showed up on the day, just to make sure that nobody was lame and to be chosen for the three or four, we went, no, they're all too good. And there was I think they were full brothers, Tango and something else, you know, so it was just like a regular demonstration that you'd see in England or
so
here.
So there was a starter horse, one that he started and had a rider on and typically about 30 minutes. Did we have
That's
one
right.
of those?
Yeah, absolutely. Classic, iconic. It was beautiful, beautiful to see. Accepted his first saddle, no bucking, very quiet, really sweet horse.
That's awesome.
And Yeah, and that was stunning to the people there. You could tell it was an educated audience of horsemen, but not an educated to Monty Roberts concepts. And I think it just took their breath away.
Who were the people that were in the crowd? Because, you know, in that great hall, that iconic Spanish Riding School hall, there was not an empty seat. So who were the people that were there? Just general ticket sales or what?
Yeah, they just went on sale. They were not very expensive or anything. So we were really hoping to encourage just, Dad wasn't even paid for this or anything. So it was really just a labor of love to be able to experience that, to promote the instructors that were in the area. We had 7 instructors there. And the people that came were, like I said, I think they were interested in horses. It wasn't really just the general public off the street. We met people in the, when they were buying tickets that said, oh my gosh, I didn't even know he was here. We're buying a ticket because it was Sunday night, you know, and in Austria, it's so funny. It's very old world there. Everything closes down on Sunday. The streets are crowded with people. The restaurants are open and the hotels are active, but anything that sells anything is closed down. So I think that helped sales a little bit, but
where do we go? Let's go here.
About the riding school. Yeah. And we got a tour backstage. I mean, the building itself is 350 years old. I mean, that just takes the wind out of you for a second. I mean, it's just amazing how they built this thing 350 years ago, and it's huge, and there's no support, you know, beams in the middle of it or anything. And you wonder how the
like
roof.
A cathedral. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But the cathedrals all around this place, which by the way, I highly recommend going to Vienna sometime if you get to see it. Within walking distance of everything, you can see the most amazing cathedrals and the sound and everything. But all their roofs, you know, they're domed. They typically are very high pitched, and you can kind of see how they would stand, I think, see how they would stand all those hundreds of years. But this one has a flat ceiling, and they're holding those chandeliers. If anybody gets to see a photo of those things, these chandeliers must weigh at least a ton each, and there's just a series down the middle. And then they have these beautiful paintings and everything too. But it just gave you chills, you know, to see this sort of change, I think, in the acceptance of a different way of doing things. Because the actual Lipizzaner training system and everything is 450, I think it's 60 years old. So imagine that 460 years of tradition kind of changed overnight. It was just the first time they've ever done it. Now they've had lots of people in lately. They've had Princess Anne, and they've had Charlotte Dujardin and Carl Hester, lots of people that are iconic or from the dressage world itself. Camilla was there recently. So they really are, I think, trying to reach out.
Why do you think that the Spanish Riding School is all of a sudden inviting different people to come in and do, you know, demonstrations and things like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks. There is a woman who took over, the first woman to ever be director of the Spanish Riding School in Vienna. And I'll look up her name here. Her name is Mrs. Gertler, Elizabeth Gertler of the Spanish Riding School, 10 years ago was named director. And it was really a turning point for them to accept women. And immediately she took on 2 women students there,
which they never had
women students there either. One was English, even from the UK, and then one was Austrian. And I there may be some sense, but that was just dramatic. You could tell by the lady who gave us the tour, Andrea, it was wonderful, was really a great host for us. And she was very open about everything that the school is trying to do. So I think the why is because of Mrs. Gertner. Some people are not happy about changing tradition. You know how that goes. But then there's Max Debretzberger runs the Pieber, which is about a couple of hours out of town. The trainings where the horses are started and trained and raised up, the babies, you know, Dad has a video on Facebook where he's standing on a mountaintop above Pieber with all the babies around him. Yeah, did you see that? And I like the comment. Somebody said, did anybody think he might throw up his arms and start singing from the Sound of Music? Because it is just gorgeous and green and beautiful. And the horses look so happy. I mean, they're just growing up in this idyllic little Sound of Music.
It's amazing. I mean, it's beautiful on top of a hill. And the horses just kind of trot by while he's doing this little video. And I've seen it happen. So he's talking to you while you're filming it. And what was that? Now, you posted this on your Facebook page, and your dad is not without critics. And I just, people fear change and people fear things being done differently. And I was shocked at the people that are friends with you on Facebook that are ripping your dad in the comments. Why are you friends with her? Like, this is her Facebook page. You don't get on there and like rip her family to her. I was so pissed for you. I made a comment.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah, that's okay. You know, I learn so much from the people who criticize. I really do. You know, because I want to know why. What is it? What's the essence of what they're criticizing? And the only way you can do that is if they feel as if they can speak freely. Some people will question me, why do you let other people, you know, put something negative on you? The site is not that negative, you guys, but you know,
it was one person being nasty.
Yeah, but they're always really vocal, aren't they? And then what I love is that people pile on them that believe differently. It's so interesting. On my page right now, though, there's three different factions. It's really interesting. There's the factions, of course, that are supporting Monty, going, what do you mean? You know, I don't get it. You mean you're supporting violence now? Oh, no, you're not. Oh, whatever. And so they're supportive of Monty. And then the other ones who don't want any tradition change at all. That's it. I don't care how good it is or how bad it is or anything. They just don't want to see change at the Spanish Rite. I mean, hey, it's their religion. It's sort of hallowed.
That leads for people that aren't quite getting why this was such a big deal for him to be invited there is because they're that 450 you're trying to be really nice here. So I give you credit for that. That 450 years of traditional training is not necessarily the same training that Monty does.
Pretty much not. No. Yeah. But I mean, you know, a lot. Okay. So,
but that's why it was such a big deal. That's the point I'm trying to make.
It is such a big deal to kind of break with tradition, right? It's always a little bit of offense to people to break with tradition. I don't care what industry you're talking about. You know, it's just the truth. It's hard to change. It's hard for people to change. It's hard for me to change about things, you know? So I get that. And if people really believe that it's pure and it shouldn't be for anything else, then, you know, I can see a problem with it. The trouble is, I think of, you know, the circus Barnum and Bailey just shut down.
Yes, and that's why we see all of the people who used to be at Barnum Bailey now on America's Got Talent. Have you noticed that, Jamie?
Oh,
they're all from Sarasota.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, I hate to see things thrown away because they didn't change. And, you know, the Tennessee Walking Horse, we've certainly been pretty open on our shows. Horsemanship Radio, your
and
show
ours.
has certainly had. Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's a desperate, plea to please change. Otherwise you're going to go away, and nobody wants to see horse advocacy go away. And I hate to see a breed destroyed because people wouldn't change. You know, the horses are fine. We're supporting the horses. So, I'm not saying the Spanish Riding School needs to change. I'm just saying how many people actually know where their horse was started and what went on. People have to ask themselves, did you start your own horse? If you didn't, do you know what they do when they start their own horse? So, I have a lot of people who say to us, my horse just was different, you know, when they came back from the trainer. And that difference should be good. It shouldn't be negative. So we're just saying everybody, glass house, live in a glass house. Let's do better for horses, and throw out what we don't need and embrace what works for the horses. That's it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is such an amazing thing. And I can't wait to see the video of what happened. I was like, just on the Facebook page the whole time going, okay, who's up next? What's up next? And it looks like there was a lake and stream demo because a horse was afraid of plastic. And that's one of my all-time favorite things so to cool. see so and to yeah. do. Yeah, it's so cool. So you guys definitely, if you aren't already, just to go watch The Horsemanship on Monty Roberts University, MontyRobertsUniversity.com. What's really cool is I'm going to see you in less than a month. I have, Glenn, I have volunteered to be Monty's slave for the entire Monty Robert. Yeah. It's not a bad gig. But give me that horse. Clean up that poop. That's going to be me.
He's not violent toward the horses, but boy, his slaves he is.
He's a slave.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, he doesn't hand over enough, right, Jamie? I mean, this is why the 82-year-old is in there with a draft horse pulling his arm off. And even the final on that one, this horse was so spoiled. And he had this little owner that was like 4'10" or so. Okay. And this owner was just being bullied. And we get out, it's like 10 o'clock or so. We're all going to go out to dinner somewhere. There's just the team out in the back of the, on cobblestones behind the school. And of course, here's the poor girl, can't load the horse.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So here's Dad again. He gets back in there. You know, the instructors are like, "You sure, Monty?" "Yeah, here we go." And so, and the owner was just like, "Oh, bless your hearts." And, trying to put on this tiny little trailer, right? Of course, those little European boxes, you know. And so that was the finish to a long day. But then the next day he went to Pieper, and then they had the big long lunch. It was a press conference with all the dignitaries right there in the middle of the school. They just laid down this floor and served lunch to about 50 right there. And then they turned all the babies and moms loose in the winter.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, it was so cool. They're just walking around, sniffing on people. And it was so cute.
I saw he did a book signing, too. He did a signing.
Yes. Yeah. He did a signing for
there
everybody.
There was a line.
Yeah, that was just partial because it went inside the building. I think I took that photo. Yeah. And people were nuts for it. It was great. Oh, they have a 19-horse walker, Jamie. Like an oval walker that we have,
oh my
like
God,
12 spots, 19, and that's where they exercise. It was just amazing. You know, German engineering is just.
I imagine
you can
going
tell
to Pieper,
Debbie didn't have, she didn't have fun at all.
Yeah,
no.
Going to Pieper was probably more fun than even to the school because you just got to see all these really cool horses and out, you know.
So beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun. Everybody should watch for that video. We'll have lessons on the online university eventually, but we'll also get something on TV somewhere, you know, between England and here, and we'll stream some stuff. And I think everybody should be really excited that you can break down walls. You actually can make a difference. Don't be shy about, if some trainer goes up against you and says, "You know, I don't know about that stuff," just say, "I know." You probably don't. You should probably get to know it a little bit. You know, it's okay.
If you have a trainer, and this is what my favorite thing to say too is, like, if you have a trainer and they tell you to do something or they do something, and you ask them why. Why do you do that? Why do you do it like that? Why are you telling me to do that? Just ask a simple why. If they can't tell you, you need a new trainer.
Yeah.
You know, or if they tell you and you don't like the reason why they're telling you.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, Debbie, I went over to a friend/client's house who was having some issues with their horse. She's like, "I don't understand why he does this." And I'm like, "Oh," and it makes so much sense to me now with the positive instant consequences, negative instant, and nothing is pain media. Everything to me in horse training has come so fully full circle and become so clear and transparent on how and why you do things that I just encourage everybody. I'll be at Monty's special training. It's the 31st through the 4th at Flag Is Up.
August 4th. Yeah.
It's my favorite one because it's a week long of watching Monty train horses.
That's it. And picking up poop. Yeah.
And I'll be the poop picker.
You're picking up poop. Yeah.
Y'all can boss me around.
Exactly. He doesn't know what horses are coming. We don't know what horses are coming. You know, they just show up and they're usually remedial. He calls it remedial, where they'll have an issue. They won't load on the trailer, or they bite, or they buck.
Or they have what we had last year, which was I brought Hogan, which sounds a lot like the horse he just had at Spanish riding school in pony form.
Yes. Add 100 pounds or so. That's
yeah. God, what a nightmare. Well, that's exciting.
Hogan was a great lesson on the university. People should watch that one because Jamie does a great job of training to mount, you know, bringing him to the mounting block from 10 feet away. And you did a great job with Hogan.
Oh, I can't watch it.
You can't.
She can't listen to herself either.
You can't listen to yourself either. Yeah.
Hey, Debbie, did you meet Dr. Max? I can't say his last name at the Peeper Stud.
I did not.
He was the director.
Max Retzberger.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing guy. He is the director of the Peeper. In fact, one of the horses from there did come up for Dad's demo. They was an honor, actually. And he's made a lot of great changes there too. Yeah. Why do you ask?
I asked because we interviewed him last year. David Saunders and I co-host once a month on the Driving Radio Show. So we interviewed him for the Driving Radio Show last year. It's episode 258, and he was on because David knew him from his time working with the Queen. Ooh. And we had him on, and he talked all about the Peeper Stud and, you know, how everything works at the farm. So that was a fascinating interview. It really was.
I bet it was. I'll have to go back and listen to that now that I know all the players. Yeah. The stud that they have there is really amazing. I mean, just all the lineage. They name the stallions, and there are, you know, dozens of stallions when the school is open. They name the stallions after the mother's name first. So you'll have like this big white gorgeous Lipizzaner stallion named Kitty or something, you know, something goofy sounding, woman sounding, but they are so scientific about bringing in that Y chromosome from outside, you know. They're just, it's generations and generations of these stallions. But the coolest thing was there's not a mare to be found in Vienna, I don't think, not anywhere close to the school anyway. And these stallions just walk around together. Like we went around, you know, kind of like going under the Colosseum in Rome or something, you know, the catacombs. Well, the horses are down there in those catacombs, and they're not too deep or anything, but they're by themselves. Like they'll put two in this slot, two in this slot, two in this slot, and then they call them out, you know. And you think, wait a minute, you put two stallions right here, and then 15 feet down you put two more, and they're just standing there getting along. Yeah, because once you know you're not introducing mares, you're you got happy horses. So they're just the coolest, most content horses, and compliant, maybe, too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
highly recommended.
We could certainly talk to you for another hour about it. Any final takeaways, any final thoughts, any really special magical things that you want to go over before we have to let you go?
Oh, there's just so much to share. Just, I'd say watch for the photos and things like that. But stay tuned for what's going to be coming out of this, I think, is what will really be the story behind it. This was an introduction. I think what will come out of it will be the big story.
And I assume that you'll be talking a lot more about it on the Horsemanship Radio Show.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that. But there's some steps in between. So I'll be talking to Jen about that, too, on Horsemanship Radio next week. We'll record. But I really do think this was a fulcrum point for horses, and I'm very excited for horses. And I know people will wonder what the heck that means, but stay tuned. I feel really confident about it.
All right. Wonderful. Debbie Laux, daughter of Monty Roberts, host of the Horsemanship Radio Show. Thank you so much for coming on. And I'm so excited. I just want to see more pictures.
Oh, thank you for letting me blather about it. It was really fun. It was really fun. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Debbie.
Bye.
Bye.
You know.
Okay, Glenn, I must interject.
Yes.
We went to all the trouble to get our passports so we could go on a cruise. I think the first stamp on our passport needs to be Vienna.
You know what? Cruising is BS for a passport. Get on a damn plane and go somewhere like Vienna. You can't see the world from the edge of a boat.
Although,
I'm sorry.
There are cruises that go to Vienna. So that'd be perfect.
There we go.
Oh, my God. Have a little imagination.
That'd be perfect. Hey, we're doing imagination. We're renting RVs and driving all over Texas in September.
You're going to Texas.
We've never been to Texas, though, so that's perfect.
Yeah, but we don't get free airplane tickets.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. Yeah, Europe is a little more expensive. It actually costs most people money to fly places, Jamie. I know that's a foreign concept to you now.
It's not foreign. I am new to the concept, and I am fully loving it and appreciating it.
I bet you are too. It would be nice. So yeah, that was,
you got to go to Vienna. It's just, it's, you can't even describe the architecture and the Spanish Riding Hall. And I went there when I had no money. I was like 21 years old and I had to take a vacation for my work, and I was doing, maybe I was 22. My first year of radio, I was making like $18,000 a year, and I saved up and I bought tickets and I said, I want to go to Vienna. And so I went to Vienna, I stayed in a hostel, and every morning they had the Spanish Riding School was practicing. It was in February because that's the cheapest tickets. And the only time you can take a vacation in radio is when they're not in the books, which is called like the ratings period.
Right.
So which in February, I go. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I go all the way to Vienna and stayed in a hostel and walked over every morning and watched them practice at the school. And so it can be done on $0. It just, the plane ticket was the expensive part. And you just made the rest happen. I was like, where's the, who's got it? Lunch specials, happy hour.
You know what I was thinking while Debbie was on the whole time? I was thinking, how cool is it that the Queen of England saw all of this 40 years ago?
I know. She's amazing.
And I do have a correction to make. That article that we talked about where her and Prince Philip are riding, it was not Prince Philip. It was one of her people that she's ridden with forever. He is not riding.
Are you
the article
serious?
Was wrong. It's not him. And when you look closely, you see it is not him. The whole article is wrong. So,
oh, I was so hoping they were a couple.
No, we got corrected on that one many times. And the article, I think it was Daily Mail or one of those articles. And of course, it was the intern who does nothing about, you know, horses or apparently the royal family. It was not.
You're fired. You're fired.
It was not. I actually pulled that post because it was wrong.
Oh, I'm so sad. Sorry. Well, I didn't make it up.
He still gets around in his carriage, though. He still drives those four horses, which at 95 or 96 is not too shabby. So I don't think he harnesses them himself. But then I don't think he ever did. So, you know, it's why he had David to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But this is very cool. I can't wait to hear more about it on Debbie's show, Horsemanship Radio. You'll hear more about that. Tomorrow morning, we have the Draft Horse episode for you. I know that my co-host Lisa is going to be in Canada. She's in Calgary, actually, right now, heading up there for, I don't know if it's the Stampede or just a big show they're doing with draft horses up there, but it's been a 27-hour trip in the trailer with the horses or something. It's been a bizarre trip, and she's going to be coming to us from Canada tomorrow, talk a little bit about draft horses. And then Friday, Lisa Wysocki's filling in for Jamie as Jamie heads up north with an unwilling Zeus.
He will be willing up there because it is like 75 in Flagstaff.
Yeah, you might be careful what you wish for.
I know, right? He's going to be like, yeah.
All right, no red cards. None of our hosts are allowed to get red. Is it yellow or red, or do they go from yellow to red?
I think you have to do something really bad to get a red card, but you can get two yellow cards.
Oh, well,
red.
Then you're allowed to get one yellow card. You'll be fine. All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no.
Unless they go straight to red. No, I'm going to do it. I've got a better bit. I'm ready to go. He's going to be controllable this time.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I hope.
I will have the That Girl music ready. And we want you to bring the dressage test and read the comments to us because that's always funny on Monday morning.
Well, it's not going to be funny because they're going to be like, oh, my God, that was amazing. That was so beautiful. Wow. 10, 10, 10, 10.
Bring the dressage test, maybe that'll be fun. Not that we don't have confidence in you or anything. It's just,
I mean, the last one it only said explosive like seven times, so only one way to go, and that's up.
Well, you know what? If it's just if it doesn't say explosive and it only says mildly energetic, we should be good then. We're improving.
Yes.
Even energetic would be improving on explosive.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, good luck with all of that. We'll be thinking about you and looking for pictures.
Well, thanks. I'll talk to all y'all Monday. Have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, geld.
All right. See you, everybody.